Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Go Steelers! Go Steelers! Say go Steelers! Go Steelers!
Steelers Outpost Podcast, the proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. We are hoping all you fathers, brothers, and sons salvaged Mother's Day yesterday. Checked the boxes, did what you had to do to avoid hurt feelings and the doghouse for the next month. We wish any of you moms out there who are listening happy belated Mother's Day. And it is belated because this was almost not to be tonight.
Come hell or high water, we found a way to record here, but there was we were like ships in the night.
Yeah, circumstances almost conspire to keep us apart, but they will not prevent us from bringing you this episode because we have done this for exactly 90 weeks in a row. This is week 91. And in spite of holidays and vacations, business travel, and even threats of matrimonial discord, we bring you the podcast.
Hey, so May 13th. Sorry, I didn't mean to break up the ceremony. Please continue, and then I'll ask you my question.
It's my OCD. It's May 13th, 2019, episode 91. This is Tom from the Washington, D.C. Outpost. This is Nick. Was tonight from the. I just got back from Philadelphia on my first. I've been on the train before, but this was my first time in the first class car, which is glorious, I must say.
Oh, big money.
And Nick, you've had your own weekend, so we've been prevented from having this podcast until now.
Yeah, we've been living the high life, but I didn't even realize that we were so close to 100. I don't know, somebody pointed that out to us recently. We got to do something special. I don't know what we'll do. We'll be in the same area this coming week, but that's for the James Harrison episode, number 92. But I don't know if we can think of anything for 100. Granted, it comes in the super doldrums of the NFL season, but...
Well, it may be appropriate because we have an excellent designer. If you looked at our Steelers Outpost podcast logo, very proud of it. And actually, can't take pride. We just had a great guy who designed it for us. So we're looking to have the Steelers Under Armour shirts designed. And maybe we'll give a few of those away for our 100th episode.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, reach out to us on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. That's a good way to get in touch with us, and maybe we'll do some sort of giveaway or something like that. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to St. Vincent this year, but I think that might have to be a goal. It depends on my show schedule here. But speaking of someone that actually jogged my memory a little bit, shout out to Jeff Cope. I think that's how you pronounce your name, man. It's at Jeff Kopay. First time listener to the podcast last week. My show sometimes gets busy due to musical engagements that I have, and Jeff asked us about the theme song at the beginning of the podcast. Go Steelers! Go Steelers! For any of you guys wondering, yes, that is our song. That is an original song that we made for the Pittsburgh Steelmen. And maybe we got to make a new one in the post-Killer Bee era. But I don't know what's going on over there. You popping bottles? You popping some champagne a little early? Previous to episode 100?
I am celebrating the culmination of the Steelers rookie mini camp that took place from Friday through Sunday. They brought in 60 players, including some first-year players, and one player who's been there, Williamson Scott. It wasn't him. Who's been there for 5 years? This is his fifth year in rookie mini camp because he hasn't accrued enough time to not be in rookie mini camp.
Who knows? I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm sure whoever it is going to make a huge impact on the Steelers 2019 season. I'm sure there's a lot of podcasts going over the seventh defensive lineman off the board right now. But I got to be honest, I do read the names. I do know the names, but it's hard to bring myself to care.
Well, I somehow Steelers Nation, maybe I shouldn't attribute this to everybody, but Keon Adams got cut. So they did cut. We're going to talk about who stuck and who didn't. The guys okay. who stuck probably won't do any better than the practice squad. But Keon Adams, he's been built up as a god over 2 years. That
by the fan base.
Wait till he comes back. Wait till he comes back. But he was a seventh-round draft pick. I didn't understand that.
So I have
joked. I think it was a sort of the phenomenon where what you don't know is, huh?
Sorry, sometimes that Skype delay gets me. I thought that you were done talking.
I have a lot to say tonight, but please proceed.
No, just Keon Adams. You teed me off in the perfect area. Like, I half joke about not caring about the seventh defensive lineman. I'm sick in the head. Of course I care about the seventh defensive lineman. That's why we're here for the 91st week in a row. But the Keon Adams one, that's a great discussion just about football fans in general. And I guess, you know, we can attribute it to just Steelers fans, obviously a rabid fan base, but I'm sure a lot of fan bases do this, if not all of them. But I always remember over the past few years, Keon Adams obviously hasn't really played a meaningful down in the NFL. Seventh round draft pick, right? And when people talk about the Steelers defensive, the edge rusher depth, they talk about, oh, you got Chickalo behind there, Ola Adeniye coming up, fan favorite. You got Keon Adams who's in the mix. Keon Adams is not in the mix. Keon Adams is just a name you know because he got drafted. But I love how people were including this guy in the conversation. Like, hey, here's the force to be reckoned with. Keon Adams, just like Senquez Golson.
Wait till Keon comes back.
Yeah, right? We're half joking because I think Kiesel was a seventh-round pick. And obviously the Steelers got guys who play Foster and Williams and the Trader. You know, they were late-round or no-round picks. Obviously, you know, Vince, seventh-rounder. Foster undrafted, Villanueva. So, of course, it happens. And that's what makes this time of the year interesting because you want to see, you know, which lower depth chart guys can make an impact. And a guy like Keon Adams kind of does fit that bill because he had prototypical athleticism and size. So those are the kind of guys who are like, maybe this is a late bloomer. Maybe they made a late position switch. Maybe they got injured at some point in college, like Sean Spence, who was so horrific for the Steelers in his recent stint. But in his first stint with the Steelers, he was the University of Miami's all-time leading tackler. But he had like an ACL injury. So that caused him to drop in the draft so the Steelers could pick him up. So those are the kind of things that are interesting in Steelers minicamp are either the stories about weird players. We got a couple of those this year. Or somebody who's a late round draft pick because of, circumstance, but might have prototypical traits to flourish.
Here's a name you may have heard of who got cut. It was RJ Prince. He had the fantastic hair. He's been hanging around there for a year. He got let go. But most disappointing, and the guy I really wanted to see stick, at least until the summer, Eastern Michigan quarterback Brogan Roback.
Damn it.
Brogan Roback. Now, Brogan earned third-team All-MAC honors after throwing for almost 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions. Classic Ben prototype. But he did make the third team in the All-MAC. And the Steelers being the vacuum cleaner for the Mac.
They are a vacuum cleaner for the Mac.
Best all-time. It's probably why he is the quarterback and he made it as far as he did. It's just like Brogan Roback. Of course, he's a quarterback.
He's got bro in his name. I mean, you guys probably know him if you have heard of him. He was Hard Knocks famous. Every year there's a rando practice squad type guy who gets famous on Hard Knocks. And when they did the Brown season, Brogan Roback was a big part of it. I've actually never watched like a full episode of Hard Knocks, but I would watch it just for the bro. And as far as you're saying prototypical Ben numbers, I'm pretty sure Ben was like 57 touchdown passes in the Mac. So the bro, isn't that funny? The guy went through 19 tutties and 15 picks in the Mac conference and is still like hanging around NFL teams. You got to feel bad for like the RJ Princes and the Brogan Robacks. How scary must that living be? Because I guess you can make some good change compared to your college friends who are out of college looking for jobs in the market. But, you know, you could also make the argument that you're wasting 2 years in the NFL not gaining relevant job experience somewhere else just to make a paycheck that is going to run out on you. It's not like you're, you know, making Doug Baldwin money where he'll be okay for the rest of his life if
All right.
other things don't pan out.
I just confirmed that Ben had 37 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in 2003 at Miami of Ohio. So, yeah, he did a little better than Brogan. But the good news is we have the unpronounceable Devlin Hodges from Samford, who did stick from rookie minicamp. He is the best player out of the FCS last season.
I don't either.
He won the Walter Payton Award as most outstanding player after throwing for 4,300 yards and 32 passing touchdowns. He was the SoCon Offensive Player of the Year for the third straight year. Now, this is a flash of lightning coming in from the East.
These are the stories I do like, and our listeners are probably yelling at us when I say we don't even know what the FCS is. Again, we're half joking, guys, but can I tell you what it stands for? Of course, football conference schools. That's what it stands for. And Devlin Hodges, these are the stories I like. Samford, you almost would think he could have gotten drafted by mistake if somebody read it as Stanford, you know, but the Browns actually have competent ownership now, so I don't know who would do it. But, yeah, the guy, you know, maybe he'll be competing in there, throwing some balls around to Juju Smith-Schuster in the summer. But who knows?
I'm still looking up the address for Samford. It's in Alabama.
Perfect. Last chance you type of situation over there. Hey,
it's
sidebar.
A real football school.
Oh, it is? Isn't Last Chance you a real football school too, though, wherever that is?
Yeah, it's a community college.
That's a good-ass community college. They might be able to beat Samford based on the kind of recruits they're getting. Sidebar, by the way, one of my greatest regrets in life. I paused there for a second because I had to go through all my regrets, and this one's definitely up there. I was in a thrift shop just browsing around a couple years ago in Houston, a really crappy one. I don't know why we were in there. We were just making the rounds. There's another bottle of champagne's going on. A little premature. We're not at 100 yet. Back to the thrift shop in Houston. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm walking around, and I see a red jersey on the rack. They always have old, irrelevant jerseys. They'll have like a – you might be able to find like a Wes Welker on the Dolphins jersey. You might be able to find – Jarvis Jones. No, you'll never find a Jarvis Jones. You know, Brett Favre on the Vikings kind of thing. These are the jerseys that you find at thrift stores. I see a red jersey. I turn around. It's got a number 7. I turn around again. It's got Roethlisberger. It's a Ben Roethlisberger Miami of Ohio jersey. And I was even poorer then than I am now. So for whatever reason, I decided not to get it. And I will regret that to this day. What are the chances in Houston, Texas, of getting a Roethlisberger jersey from Miami of Ohio? I'm sure I'd be able to find something on eBay. Actually, maybe not. But you could probably find something. But the opportunity that I squandered of not picking that thing up in the wild, I've learned from it. And if I ever see it again, it will be mine and framed.
Yeah. Life regrets. Well, let's also go through the rest of the guys who were picked up. Defensive tackle Greg Gilmer. I was trying to find something interesting about him. He is from LSU. He's in his second year. What is interesting is that he last played for the Memphis Express of the AAF.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, so prolific college player picked up by the Steelers, so he's going to stay. So next we have Henry Mondeau. Henry Mondeau. He's a 6'5", 288-pound defensive lineman from Mondeau.
Samford State?
Mondeau has to be from Louisiana, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's saying, French.
Let's
say,
I'm guessing LA Tech. Let's race for this.
Oregon. No. He's from Oregon. You know what's interesting about him?
He's a type 1
diabetic. We have James Conner and we have Henry Mondeau. You got to pull for Henry Mondeau.
Ryan Clark, excellent analyst for ESPN, has been getting his stock up with the excellent suits and his trashing of AB in the media. Thankfully, the voice of reason over the last few months. But if you guys remember, they discovered while Ryan was playing for the Steelers that he had some sort of sickle cell condition. I don't know if it was a temporary thing. I know I'm misspeaking on this right now. Somebody might know the details better than me. But regardless, before that ill-fated Tim Tebow game, the playoff game in Denver, the doctors deemed it might be unsafe for Ryan Clark to play at Mile High Stadium because the altitude was too high and it could mess with him given the condition. And he talked about how Mike Tomlin sat him down and had a meeting and said, I'm not letting you play. If you were my son, I wouldn't let you play in this game. So I can't let you play in this game. And Ryan Clark actually referenced that when talking on ESPN about Mike Tomlin's quote about the cleansing, which obviously was referring to getting rid of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And you and I thought that that word cleansing was strong. Like usually the coach just moves on like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about the people on our roster. No, that was a statement and it sounded like he was personally hurt. And Ryan Clark kind of used that as an example, saying like, listen, this guy actually cares about the players and he feels that he has a two-way relationship with them. And so many of the players back that up. And, you know, you could tell the way they support Tomlin. And so it seems like he actually was very hurt by the by what happened with Bell and Brown. But anyways, if we're looking for Steelers with conditions, Ryan Clark's on the list. But the most prolific, maybe the most famous is the bus. Jerome Bettis was an asthmatic. Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. He went down. They had to cart him off the field and into an ambulance. Didn't stop him from rumbling his way all the way to the Hall of Fame. So maybe Henry Mondo, maybe the diabetes propels him to the 53 beast man roster. That's what
next
I think.
Next, we have another interesting story. Damian Prince. We got rid of one Prince, we brought right. another one. Offensive line RJ was let go, and we have retained Damian Prince of Maryland. He held the opposite side of the line from Derwin Gray.
That's interesting. I would think that's coincidence. I almost think that they drafted Mason Rudolph and James Washington last year, partially because they played together. But this obviously playing on the opposite side of the line, I think it's a coincidence. I think they just needed to get another Prince in there with the loss of RJ.
I just read this today. Steelers are signing wide receiver Johnny Holton. Johnny was waived by the Eagles. I thought this was sort of done after a rookie minicamp, but they just picked him up and they like his speed.
Yeah, wait, so this guy's actually like scored in an NFL game, I think. So let me look up his stats. Johnny Holton's stats. I don't know if it was Alex Cazorra or someone posted a picture of him. Look at this. In 2017, he had 9 catches for the Raiders for 218 yards. That's a 24.2 yard average. With a 64 long and 3 touchdowns, 9 catches and 3 touchdowns. So who knows what this guy is, but the Steelers have a ton of little like slot guys and run around dudes and Moncrief. I think he can take the top off the defense a little bit. Obviously, Washington's been brought in to be a vertical threat. I've let my opinion on him be known. I've seen things from him on a consistent basis in the preseason with the winning the jump balls that suggest maybe this guy can turn the corner. But I do worry about a deep guy with not great speed. So this Johnny Holton is more of a downfield type of threat. So interesting. It at least makes for more competition with the receivers in camp, and I love it that the two dogs with one bone thing worked so famously well with Sanders and Brown when it happened. And there's a lot of talent at receiver. Obviously Juju's the number one. You obviously don't have a Brown or Hopkins or Julio Jones type guy in there, but I do think that this competition is going to be good for everybody on the roster. And I don't know if you got to assume DHB isn't going to be there, which does suck for the locker room and the leadership, but that is sort of a guy who's not going to threaten anybody for a receiving position.
And finally, the Steelers retained Tuzar Skipper. Hope I'm pronouncing his name right. He's a linebacker. Guess where he's out of? Toledo. Mac. We have 3 guys from Toledo. Ola Adini, Deontay Johnson, and Tuzar Skipper. And I just took a look at the roster. Guess what schools are most represented on the Steelers roster? I won't ask you to. I mean, that's a big
it's
target.
It's going to be Toledo then, huh? Or
Toledo is not leading. They have 3, but it's just kind of funny. So Maryland has 4. You got Sean Davis, Trey Edmonds, Derwin Gray, and Damian Woo. Prince at this point. Tennessee has 4.
Yeah, and Dobbs, Foster, and some other guys. Oh, Sutton. Someone else.
You had Foster, Dobbs, McCullers, and Sutton.
With the Steelers, usually, well, Oklahoma State has 2 at least, right? And then
somehow we have three guys from Western Michigan. Robert Spillane, Ian Berryman.
Was that Charlie Batch's college? Where did Charlie Batch go?
Western Michigan?
Yeah, I want to say he did.
Do some quick research on that. But I think there's one other school that's represented by four players.
Eastern Michigan. Damn it, Nick. Come on. Well.
Just kind cool. of funny. The map yeah, is, some the comings map and is goings. Over, maybe not overrepresented, but well represented on the Steelers.
So that's basically, I guess, the comings and goings. Obviously, there's been a ton of coverage on the Instagram about Devin Book. Oh, are you hitting that Skype? You hitting that Skype difficulty as well? You're just gonna steam through. I respect that. Yeah. We just talked about the bus. No, I was just saying. I think that's pretty much it, right? For the additions and subtractions from the people. Obviously, the Steelers Instagram has been playing up Devin Bush. I mean, you got to give the people what they want to see. I guess good news is that he was calling plays at the minicamp. You know, you got to assume a top prospect at the linebacking position is going to be able to do something like that. But it's cool to see how immediate his – you can tell this guy's an alpha and he's not going to have a problem coming in and playing that role. When the Steelers have had some great hardworking rookies like a T.J. Watt or a Cam Hayward or, you know, guys like that who have come in the past. But it's cool to get some swag in there. It's good to see that your first round linebacking prospect is going to be comfortable coming in there and calling shots and being vocal and injecting some energy into the defense. And like I said before, he got that Joey Porter number 55. By the way, I don't think we ever mentioned this, but his uncle is Derek Brooks, one of the greatest linebackers ever, also number 55. That's kind of why he wore it. Devin Bush also said that he wore 55 because he wanted to keep number 10 in the NFL. He obviously knew he couldn't do that, so he says 5 plus 5 is 10. And I have a bone to pick with that because a lot of the NFL players do that. They try to use the two digits in their NFL number to equal whatever, you know, cool single-digit number they had or whatever, like, you know, 10 to 19 number they had in college. But you don't want to add them up like that. What you're looking for is the shape of the number. The 10 is a nice – obviously there's a circle in there, but overall it cuts a vertical shape. It slenderizes the player. It's more of a sleek number. 55 is a bit of a fat number. I always look at that not for a fat player, but it's just a lot of number to cover the back of the jersey, and it's really more of an edge rusher number. So if I were him – man, 51 would have looked glorious. You could have gone 52 the Ray Lewis direction. Actually, I don't know if they give away 52. That was Webster. But either way, you know, interesting stuff there. So who, you know, great to see him taking control right away. If I had to bet it, I'm saying that he's going to start week one. And when I make that bet, I'm going to make that bet with my bookie because my bookie offers bettors in all major markets an entertaining lineup of gaming options. They got unique prop bets. Who else of the rookies is going to keep these numbers? I think our receiver, I think Johnson, Deontay Johnson took 18. That's not going to cut it. We need to find something better than that. Place your bet on your mobile device, on that sleek mobile interface on mybookie.ag. And remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. Visit mybookie.ag online today, and don't forget to use that promo code APPOS25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid.
Devin Bush just got signed for $18.8 million, fully guaranteed. He is the penultimate contract in that rookie class. We're only waiting for Justin Lane, but as you know, this is all kind of pro forma at this point.
That actually reminded me. I was laughing, thinking like he gets all his money guaranteed. Le'Veon Bell's probably all angry, thinking Steelers players getting guaranteed money. Obviously, it's just the way that rookie contracts are structured. But I put up a tweet the other day that we got a little bit of engagement with as well. Let me look it up. Basically, I just wanted to revisit the Le'Veon Bell, the pay Le'Veon Bell situation from before. I'm trying to look it up here. Trying to find it, basically saying, damn, man, this is great radio. Nobody likes listening to a guy look for something else. But long story short, I was just looking at revisiting the pay or don't pay Le'Veon Bell situation by taking a look at some of the high-profile running backs who have gotten paid. And I put – and here's four of them right away. Gurley, he's injured. His career is already in risk with that arthritic right knee or left knee. They've already admitted that he's never going to be able to take the same workload that he took before. David Johnson immediately got injured as well. It's just – that's what happens to running backs. That's why it's risky paying them. Not to mention, he's completely ineffective without good players around him. It's hard when nobody's blocking for you and no one can throw you the ball. But again, you wrap up a lot of money in a guy and he's not able to make a difference without good players around him. A quarterback or someone like that can transcend it a little bit. Freeman for the Falcons. Injured. Guess what? What a shocker. LeSean McCoy. Injured. Plus, he was ineffective, averaging 3.2 yards a carry. And then he spoiled Avengers Endgame on Twitter. I mean, you just can't win with these guys. And then if you look at what happened with the Steelers once he left, James Conner, he put up better numbers than Bell did in his last year. I'm not saying that he's as good as Le'Veon Bell. I would never say that. But the price for compared to the production, which you got, it was crazy. And the proof was in the pudding. And how many times did we have this discussion during the pay or not pay Le'Veon Bell saga, and everything we said was dead on. Everything a lot of people said with the injuries, it's too much of a risk. You can replace the production for an absolute fraction of a cost. You wonder if the Steelers could be collecting guys like Barron and Nelson without the freed up salary cap space. Look at also Jalen Samuels. He runs for 100 yards in like his first ever game as a running back in his life. He didn't even play running back in high school or college. So, you know, I was totally on board for keeping Bell, because he just obviously provided so much more than just stats. He really changed the way that defenses had to play you. He was a guy that you could count on the biggest situations. He did not fumble in critical situations like James Conner did multiple times last year. We're going to watch James Conner fix that this year. But at the end of the day, they also still offered him a ton of money, so they agreed with me. They thought that they should pay him, but it is interesting, man. I know it's not the biggest sample size in the world, but I'm looking at the other four running backs who got absolutely paid. Then you look at the Giants taking a transcendent running back at number two, a guy who legitimately has the talent in Saquon Barkley to be the best running back ever if everything went well for him. I'm not saying he's going to be, but listen, the guy is as elusive as Barry Sanders, and he's a truck as well. And what did they do? They suck. Because they didn't have the right quarterback. So it really shows you the value placed on these guys. And I know this is such a tangent and we're tired of talking about Bell and Brown, but it is great conversation. And now that we can see the dust settling after a little while, you can have a little bit more perspective. Like, wow, I mean, from just a number standpoint, it was hard to argue with signing him long term. But Devin Bush getting his rookie contract guarantee just sent me on that little tangent there. And I know there's not a ton to talk about, so we'll go with whatever right now.
Well, we'll just finish up here. There's a little shot and void in everybody's life who cares about this, but Antonio Brown's number, 84, was given away to an undrafted free agent tight end, Milan Richard. But Milan does have some heritage. He is the nephew of Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker. And I just remember high school and college, and I forget when he came out, but everybody was talking about how Herschel Walker, his routine was just 1,000 sit-ups and 1,000 push-ups a day, which I tried for 15 minutes. It didn't work.
I remember when you told me that in high school, and that's actually the story that set me off on my current – well, I kind of like my permanent workout plan where I do a lot of running during the week, but in the off days from the running, it's just straight body weight stuff because if it's good enough for Herschel Walker – it's good enough for me. I clearly have the same type of Adonis genes that Herschel Walker has, but they haven't just shown the way I thought they would.
Yeah, he was out when I was in college. Excellent. And so do you guys see the video on Instagram from Steelers Justin Lane? His entire house, amazing, including the bathroom, was decorated in Cleveland Brown colors, and his dad in the Instagram was shown repainting the bathroom, among other things in the home.
Yeah, huge lifelong Cleveland Brown fans. Is he from Cleveland or outside of Cleveland? They're from somewhere in Ohio. It was awesome. He repainted it. He got the colors wrong in the steel. He mixed up a couple of the star colors. Some people giving him crap for that. I hope that you people aren't out there actually giving him crap, trying to be like, you got the color wrong. It's not good enough for you to repaint your favorite team from your entire life until they are tribal because you got the color wrong. I hope you're being cool and trying to be like, hey, brother, I appreciate you doing that, but switch the blue and the red or whatever the mistake was. But that's awesome. I mean, that's what rookie minicamp is for. Stories like that that we can relate to. And I think Warren Sharp, you know, our favorite guy, our favorite statistician, analytics mind, the premier analytics mind on the NFL and on Twitter and everything like that. I think he quoted Justin Lane, who talked about his transition to cornerback. He came to Michigan State as a wide receiver, 6'2" wide receiver. And he said, I figured, you know, there's a lot of 6'2", 4'3", 4'4", whatever he ran, wide receivers out there. There's not very many 6'2 corners with that kind of speed. So why don't I go take my talents to that side of the ball? And Warren Sharp put out a PSA to all 6'2 receivers coming out of high school. Consider making the switch to corner. He praised Justin Lane for that foresight there. And I agree with him. I think that it takes some bravery to do that. You saw Braxton Miller try it. It didn't really work out so well. Did he win the Heisman? Either way, he was a great quarterback at Ohio State, and he switched to receiver his senior year to prepare for the NFL. I think Trace McSorley, who got drafted for the Ravens, obviously the scrambly quarterback for Penn State for the past few years, that guy, they're going to play him at some wide receiver in some gadgetry situations, but that guy needs to make a permanent switch and he needs to let the QB dream die. It's not going to happen. Make the switch and you could actually be a very successful player. Everyone loves to give the example of Julian Edelman, but I'll give you a better example. Antoine Randall L. Make the switch. Swallow the pride.
So just wrapping up in the Steelers name game, we have two rookie kickers, Matthew White and Matthew Wright. Don't switch those up. And we added a punter, Ian Berryman, to compete with the incumbent Jordan Berry. So I try to keep that straight. Anyway, this was just a little bit of a fun episode. I thought that with doldrums was prior to rookie minicamp. This is much worse than anything we've experienced in a year.
Yeah, there's two doldrums.
And now I regret being so critical of AB because he was fodder. He was fuel for the engine. And we don't have that right now. But anyway, we are going to continue to collect our stories. We're both we're going to meet out in San Diego over the weekend. We'll be have a little time to reconnoiter and figure out some stories for next week. So hopefully something happens, but we will be back next week. So check us out on Instagram at Steelers Outpost. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Leave us a note on the website, SteelersOutpost.com, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.